Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, along with my co-host for our monthly ethics session, Difficult Decisions in Healthcare, Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Welcome back, Dr. Eastwood.
Nice to be back, Tricia.
We're always happy to have you here. Our ethics topic this month may seem a little bit like science fiction to many of our listeners, from Jurassic Park to Dolly the Sheep. It's one of those we've heard about. We have some sense of plenty of questions, and we may even fear that slippery slope. So tell us what our topic is.
We're going to talk about cloning this morning. I have a little cold, and I wish I might have a clone of Greg Eastwood, but as we'll learn a little later, maybe a clone of Greg Eastwood wouldn't be saying the same things that I'm going to say.
Well, maybe not, because I'm not sure that that's entirely possible, but that's what we're going to learn about this morning. Why is it we're talking about cloning?
Well, I think there's a great deal of concern among almost every thoughtful person about cloning. There's concern for good reason, because certain things could happen and are happening.
That's kind of that slippery slope we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And then also is concern, but it's based more on myth and things that probably won't happen.
And so there may be ethical questions, but I believe that we're going to find that some of those ethical questions may actually be based on misunderstandings.
That's right. And we'll talk about some of those misunderstandings as well as the things we know about.
Very good. Very good. So let's start with a definition of exactly what is a clone.
Well, clone comes from a Greek word that means twig. And I think people who are familiar with horticulture will appreciate this, because you can create clones of plants and trees from taking twigs and branches from them.
Yes, you can.
You get the identical tree and branch from that twig.
You get them to root, mm-hmm. You plant them in the ground, and they grow something that's identical.
That's right. We apply cloning to biology because we can develop pretty much the same genetically identical cells from other cells. And then, of course, what might concern many of our listeners, we can maybe produce genetically identical or very similar organisms, maybe even people.
Ah, okay. Let's take a step backwards. We spent the last 2 months previous to this month talking about stem cells. How mm-hmm. is cloning related to stem cells?
Well, some of the stem cell technology is used in cloning. If you take a stem cell and reproduce it, it develops a clone of itself. Now, as we talked about last month, we all begin as stem cells, and clearly, every cell in our body is not a clone of the other one, but there is a relationship between the two technologies.
Well, and again, it goes back to that, what are we going to use them for? And that's what creates the ethical questions.
Let's make
a list of some of the misunderstandings, the things that actually create the ethical questions. And we're not going to go in depth to all those misunderstandings, mm-hmm. but I think it will kind of set the stage for people to understand the rest of the conversation.
I think the biggest misunderstanding is that we can create another person or maybe animal, like a favorite pet, that's exactly like the first person.
And we hear about that. We hear
that's
about
right.
people with, you know, their favorite dog, and they want to create another one that's just mm-hmm. like it. Does that happen?
Well, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
We'll get to Dolly the sheep in a few minutes.
Okay.
But one of the reasons why it can't happen is that there's the nature versus nurture issue. If my DNA, my genetic material, is recreated in the egg of somebody else to create another Greg Eastwood, that person will be a new person, and they will be subject to environmental influences that I wasn't. I'm 6'3" tall. Maybe that person will be 6'6". Maybe that person will be 6'2". I don't know. That person probably would look, if this technology were possible, might look a little bit like me,
mm-hmm.
and you'd say there's a resemblance, but it wouldn't be me.
Well, and I think of any number of things, and I'm a layperson. I don't really get the science, but I'm thinking, first of all, it wouldn't be your mother who was bearing you, so
that's right.
things would start differently. You wouldn't be born identically because, shoot, I mean, maybe even the same hospital doesn't exist, or mm-hmm. the mother might be located someplace else, and your upbringing would be entirely different. So that's the nurture part you're talking about.
Those are all factors, and I think the important thing what you said is also that my DNA would be put into the egg of somebody that wasn't my mother. If my mother were available to donate eggs, well, that might make it a little bit tighter match. But still, there are a lot of variances in doing cloning.
Ah, so when people have these misunderstandings, they actually come from not understanding the science, don't they?
I think so.
Well, so let's talk about some of the science. Let's talk about some of the history, too. I know that there have been a number of steps over time in discovering how cloning could work. So let's talk about the history, because I think it introduces the biology.
Well, the history goes back to something I said earlier, that twigs and plants have been cloned for a long time. We also know that biologic twins, are identical twins, are clones. Sometimes they are triplets, sometimes quadruplets.
Right.
And those are clones, both in animals and in humans.
And actually, that bears exactly what we were talking about with the misunderstandings, because twins may be clones, but they still aren't identical.
Sometimes,
are they?
Well, we know that they are different people.
Yes.
And even though they're in very similar environmental circumstances, when you get to know twins, you know them as different individuals.
And they do look very similar, often, mm-hmm. if they're identical twins.
That's
but
right.
But they are different people. Go ahead.
There are also organisms that clone themselves to reproduce. We, as humans and our close allies, animals and plants, are very familiar with sexual reproduction. But there are organisms such as yeasts and bacteria that produce asexually. And when that happens, the cells divide and they are clones of the previous cells.
And there we go back to basic high school biology.
And that's been going on for hundreds of thousands, millions of years.
Well, and actually that's been going on longer than the sexual reproduction, hasn't
it? Well, I think so.
Yeah, at least that's what the scientists, if I remember basic biology. Mm-hmm. All right, and then we have reproductive cloning, and that's the sexual cloning you're talking about. And the science is different for that, and that's where some of our misunderstandings come from. Can you give us the layperson's version of that?
Sure. If I were going to reproduce my cat, I would take a cell from the skin of the cat and extract the DNA and then put it into an egg of a female cat that had from which the nucleus or the DNA had been removed. So the my cat's DNA goes into somebody else's egg, and then we implant it into the womb or the uterus, and out comes another cat. Now, that is much simpler to describe. If you think about what happened with Dolly the sheep, I'll remind our listeners that in February 1997, over about 12 years ago, veterinary scientists at the Roslin Institute in Scotland jubilantly announced Dolly the sheep.
Now, I even remember Dolly the sheep being on the cover of Time magazine.
Yes, well, Dolly was very famous. However, creating Dolly was very, very difficult. She was born after 277 eggs were used in the process I just described.
277, one at a time?
Eggs, and then they created 29 embryos.
Uh-huh.
And all this resulted in three lambs at birth, and only one, Dolly, survived.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean that this process couldn't be perfected and be a little more efficient, but mm-hmm. it was very difficult producing Dolly. The other thing that is not remembered well in the the publications about this, the press and so on, is that Dolly only lived for 6 years.
Oh. How long does a lamb usually live, do we know?
Well, I think about two or three times that much.
Really?
But there is a concern, and this is pretty well borne out by the experience with other cloned animals, tadpoles and cats and other animals, that they live a shorter lifespan.
Hmm.
There are a number of scientific reasons for this. One very simple concept is that we're actually dealing with cells at the very beginning that may be on the old side.
So are you suggesting, if I understand what you're saying here, you're saying that by the time they get implanted into the womb to be developed, they've already aged?
That's right. The egg has aged a little bit, and even the DNA might have aged a little bit. There are technical reasons for this. There are things called telomeres that are at the end of chromosomes. And in all of us, as we get older, those telomeres at the end of our own chromosomes get shorter and shorter and shorter. And that's believed to be partly responsible for the reason why we have limited lifespans.
Interesting. And, you know, I'm thinking to telomeres. We interviewed Dr. Michael Roizen not long ago as part of his aging book that he had just published.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked to us about telomeres and the shortening of them, and that they could get rough edges and that could indicate how somebody is aging. So here now we're bringing this back. We're talking about cloning and Dolly. Do we know how Dolly got her name?
Well, we do. This is a shocker, folks.
Okay, hang on.
The scientists at the Roslin Institute in Scotland got the so-called somatic DNA, the DNA originally from a breast tissue of a sheep.
I see.
And they knew about Dolly Parton and so forth. So we'll leave it to the readers or the listeners' imagination to figure out why she was called Dolly.
Well, Dolly Parton herself is a good sport, so she probably got a big kick out of that. So she lived for 6 years. Dolly the sheep lived for 6 years. Have there been clonings of sheep since then?
Well, I frankly don't know the answer to that, but okay. I think the interest in cloning sheep is not necessarily for farming and that sort of thing, but more from the science point of view.
Okay.
There have been other animals that have been cloned, cows, and mm-hmm. horses, even a camel.
A camel.
Yes. I don't know the outcome of that.
Okay.
But that certainly has been done. And this raises, as we alluded to before, the notion of pet cloning.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who have favorite pets, loved pets, and they'd like to have them again.
Yes.
I think for all the reasons we talked about before, that you wouldn't get your same
You would not.
Fido or
well,
something.
Well, you know, it raises an interesting question. And it also, as we mentioned before we started talking, it also starts to harken back to Jurassic Park and
yes.
dinosaurs and so forth. And there are so many other questions. When we come back after the news, we're going to address those. And we're also going to address some of the really wonderful things that cloning can result in for human beings and for longevity and the future of our health. So we do hope that listeners will stay with us. And, of course, Dr. Eastwood, you too. When we come back, we will cover all those topics. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.